Daniel 1. Daniel 1. All right, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, unto his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability to them in them to stand in the king's palace, and to whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them for 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Let's go ahead and pause there for a word of prayer. Father, we are familiar with this passage, and we talk about a little bit later Daniel's purpose, that he purposed in his heart. And so, Father, we already know some of what's in the passage. I pray that you might open our eyes to something here. It'll be surprising, maybe even disappointing to some. But I pray that you might show us something that will help us, Father, as we walk through Christianity in these last days. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, according to this, down in verse 3, as the captives of the children of Israel were carried off into the land of Babylon, there was carried a certain number, it doesn't say how many, certain of the children of Israel, verse 3, of the king's seed and of the princes. Now, these are of the king's seed. These are probably of the prince's seed, the king's sons. And so, according to 2 Kings 20, these guys didn't have it easy. They were, according to that passage, made eunuchs in the house of the king of Babylon. Now, these people and these young ones, children, in verse 4, they had no blemish, they were well-favored, and then the Bible says they were skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science. Now, that makes twice that the word science is used in the Bible. In 1 Timothy 6, it's bad science falsely so-called. So it follows that God would show you the good science, and there's nothing to say this isn't good science. But understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So they had understanding of science, they had an ability to stand in the king's palace, and they were tasked to be taught the learning of the Chaldeans. That might have been false, some of that, astrology and so on. And also the tongue of the Chaldeans. They had a 3-year probationary period, verse 5. At the end of that 3 years, they'd be brought in and tested somehow, and I don't know what would happen if they didn't pass the tests, but probably not good. Anyway, I come to that because among those children, it doesn't say how many there were, you know the names of four. In verse 6 and verse 7, you learn that you had Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, as well as Daniel. And those guys' names that we know. Now, I wanted to focus tonight, it caught my eye in verse 4, where it says these children not only had understanding and science, but were cunning in knowledge, and they had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. They had ability. Now, I don't know exactly what that ability to stand in the king's palace was exactly, but it got me thinking. For one, the word ability shows up 7 times in the Bible, and you're going to wind up being surprised by what ability points out in those seven occasions. I'll clue you in on that a little bit later. But part of these young'un's ability was just a kind of a routine ability. They had the capability of learning the Chaldeans' language. They had the capability of learning the Chaldeans' knowledge. So it was a routine sort of thing. It was an applicational deal, a practical ability that anybody kind of with the IQ of over a mushroom would be able to learn some things. And just it's just the way we learn. So, you know, your kid's going to school, et cetera, et cetera, that sort of stuff. Anybody can learn, you know, the multiplication tables with a little application, that sort of thing. But there's also the ability for some of them, there was a special giftedness. And when we think about abilities, that's kind of what we think. We think about George Mueller's ability to be heard a mile and a half away as he preached. I said, boy, I wish I could do that. Well, you don't witness where you are anyway, so what do you need to be heard a mile and a half away for? But part of the ability was practical. Part of the ability was a special giftedness. And you'll notice down in verse 17, we didn't read that far, but verse 17, as for these four children, the four we know, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, for all of them, in verse 20, in all matters of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them, and he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. So they were, in some ways, specially, maybe even supernaturally gifted that way. They had supernatural ability. Daniel, in particular, had something special. He said it down in verse 17. Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, if you go on across, let me find my note here. Go to chapter 2, verse 26, where Daniel is presented with this vision, the dream that the king couldn't remember, so Daniel had to relate him both the dream and the interpretation. But it says in verse 26, the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able, see that able, ability, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king had demanded, cannot the wise man, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. So there's a God that's able. Right? There's a God that has an ability to show you this. And maketh known to the king of Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came unto thee and to thy mind upon thy bed that should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. And so it's plain that Daniel is able to interpret these dreams. Notice in Daniel chapter 5, Daniel has not only the routine ability to just basically learn like most people do, but he also had, it truly enough, a special supernatural gifted ability that God gave him. In Daniel chapter 5, you read this. Daniel 5, this is under Belshazzar's reign, says down in verse 16, I have heard of thee that thou canst, doesn't use the word able, but in so many words, you're able to, verse 16, make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known unto me the interpretations thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet, etc., etc. Okay, that's all I wanted you to see there. I wanted you to see that there were routine abilities and there were special abilities. And everybody wants a special ability. Right? Everybody wants to, you know, be able to sing like an angel or interpret dreams or speak in tongues or just have a special giftedness by which, you know, you are unlike anybody else in the body of Christ. You are so specially gifted. Okay? So I want to preach to you about Christian abilities because the thoughts of all this with ability only showing up 7 times in the Bible. Now, Abel shows up 160 times. But there are only 7 times the word ability shows up. And again, you're going to be surprised when you learn what those are. But it brought to mind what the Lord's expectations are for our abilities. And a Christian should be able to do some things. We have some abilities. I wonder what God's expectations are. I wonder what we are able to do. Again, you're going to be surprised, perhaps disappointed by some of the list, perhaps encouraged by some of the list. I would hope that's the case. The one thing I learned from studying through the 7 times the word ability is used and the 160 times the word able is used is that it's God that's able. You have certain abilities, but God uses the abilities. It's really God that's able. Daniel says here, he says, the ability is not in me. It's God that's able to reveal these secrets to you, right? And so it's along those lines, but I just want to list for you some things, did a little study here to show you the abilities that God expects a Christian to have. First of all, let me take you to Mark chapter 9. And in Mark 9, you don't find the word able, but it's pretty evident. Look at Mark chapter 9. If you're a Christian, you should be able to do these things. Mark chapter 9, go on down to verse 20. Where did it start this? Notice verse 17. One of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? With you, how long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, and wallowed, foaming. And he asked the father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. In verse 22 he adds, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters, to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. I mean, if you're able to do something for us, please do. Which is, you're sitting there talking to the Son of God, right? So verse 23, and Jesus said unto him, well, he didn't say well, but I said well. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. I think it was said with a smile. You know, kind of a smirk, actually. Well, you ask if I'm able to help. Well, if you're able to believe, I can help. It's like that. Though the word able is not in there, it's plain that we've been given an ability to believe. Okay? That's the basis of everything in the Christian life. If you don't believe, you're not a Christian. Right? But it's the basis of everything in the Christian life. We walk by faith, not by sight. You're called to believe and walk according to that light of that belief. Again, Jesus Christ probably said this with a smile. You have the ability to believe. Now, I recognize that there's a part of that. Part one of that is a certain supernatural element. Because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Right? And by grace are you saved through faith, and that, not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Bottom line is, the Lord tells you what to believe by giving you the Word of God, and then you have the capability of believing it. It's His part to shine the light, and that's your call to believe it. Now, the rest of that is practical. You build on what you already believe. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, right? Anybody can believe. You have the ability to believe. And I know that seems awfully routine, and I know that we would hope that God would give us some special, unique, supernatural ability, like George Whitefield or Paul or somebody like that, a special calling by which we need a special equipage so that, you know, we're unique among Christians. And I'm sorry I don't have much of that for you tonight, because I'll tell you this, everybody here has the ability to believe, and if you don't think that's lofty enough, if it's not overly noble, I just would ask you to recall just how pleased God was with Abraham just for believing. I mean, by the time it's over, we've been studying Abraham for weeks now in Sunday school. By the time it's over, I mean, Abraham is known as the friend of God for believing God so much he was willing to offer his only begotten son, esteeming that God would raise that kid from the dead, if that's what it meant. Because after all, the promise had come was come through him. And I just say that, you know, you think about the Lord's pleasure with Noah for having believed God about rain and how he's going to destroy the world, and you got to build a boat that is off the charts big, and spends 75 years of his life in faith and hard work, by the way, but in faith, believing God's actually going to make this thing happen. There came a day that in Israel's apostasy, the Lord said, though Daniel, Noah, and Job stood before me, they could only deliver themselves by their own righteousness. They have no power in this wicked generation of delivering anybody. So, again, the Lord was really pleased with Abraham. The Lord was really pleased with Noah. And I just draw from that just how pleased you must understand it is that while we walk by faith and not by sight, and sometimes we wished we walked more by faith, more by sight, just how pleased God is with you that you're willing to believe Him and walk according to that, in spite of all what the world says, in spite of the fact that you've never seen anything. You've never seen anything. We walk by faith and not by sight. So I begin with the first and most important thing for every Christian is you have the ability to believe. And you need to exercise it. Now it goes a little further than that because there's the next thing. Look in Mark chapter 4, Mark 4. And there's going to be a scramble here for a little while of going to various passages just for a bit. It won't last very long, but we're going to scramble here for a bit because I want you to see all these. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, and the Lord is speaking. He said in verse 32, he's talking about this grain of mustard seed from verse 31, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. He's speaking parables. Verse 32, but when it is grown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, shooteth out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to bear it. So he gave it to them a little bit at a time. Because if he gave them the whole ladle full right away, they can't handle it. They're not able to bear it. Okay, I learned from that that the Lord, that there's an ability to, and I'll just, to get it. I don't mean to understand what the Word of God says and believe it, that's first, but to really get some comprehension, some understanding of what God really has for you. The ability to get it. Now that's partly a gift, as I said. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2 real quick. Again, a little flurry of verses here for a few minutes. 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, look, go down to verse 14. Again, I just quoted this a little while ago. Remember that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I mean, until you're saved, you can't get it. Until you're saved, you can't get deeper knowledge. But once you are saved, verse 13, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Oh, so when I get saved and I now have the Holy Spirit in me, I am called to compare spiritual things, these words, with other spiritual words. I am to apply that. I am to build precept upon precept so I can get it. And I want to say that you have the ability, a Christian has the ability to get it if he wants it. A lot of folks just don't want it. Look in 1 Corinthians 3, since we're nearby, 1 Corinthians 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto a spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able. You've been given the capability by the Spirit to understand and comprehend if you want it. Now, if you're going to follow the flesh and be carnal and think carnally and act carnally, then there's a lot of stuff you're not going to get, and you're not going to be able to bear it because you're not growing. You're not advancing. Now, again, I know that this is, may not be the kind of ability that you think about when you think about, oh, God giving me a special ability. It's not really special. It's special in the fact that God wants all of us to have it. But He gave you the ability to get it. Somebody says, well, I just don't get it. Okay, well, if you're saved, what that tells me is that you're not putting a bunch of effort into it. You're not even really trying. I've known a lot of people that just, they're just so confused and they just don't get it. They've tried and tried and tried. They're not even trying. They're not trying. They don't want the truth. They don't want the truth. And it kind of helps to want the truth. I think I can back that up with a lot of the scripture. But remember, it's precept upon precept. It's line upon line. It's here a little, there a little. You got to build there upon. You build on the foundation. You lay the foundation course, and then you add to that course. It's all got to be straight and true. It's got to be upright or it's going to fall over. But everybody has the ability to get that. Look in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5, and notice verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now listen, folks, somebody turns 14 and they're still drinking pablum and they haven't advanced to pork chops, there's something wrong. And that's the issue that you have in Christianity. We have the ability to get it, but you have to grow and you have to want it, right? You have to be saved. That's the supernatural part. The rest of it, in large part, is application. And then the Lord sheds light in the gaps of our minds where we haven't joined things together, and we grow to understand. We comprehend. But I'll get to that later. Look, if you will, in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy 2. We have the ability, we are able to believe. We are able then to get it, to grow. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Go down to verse 15. Here it is. It's very applicational, right? This is very practical. Guess what? You have to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You got to go to work at this. You got to want it bad enough to study it. You got to want it bad enough to dig for it and try to get it and think about it and comprehend it. But you have the ability to get it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. need a little bit of skill there, and you should have skill. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, since we're nearby. And notice there's a bunch of folks that are unsaved, right? Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Notice ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay, now part of that issue is a corrupt mind, right? Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds. Now this may even involve some saved people. Okay? But you have the ability to get it if you want it. Now look down in chapter 3, same chapter, verse 15. Hey, Timothy, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Saved, and mom and dad taught you the Holy Scriptures. You've had the practical privilege of being around the Holy Scriptures your whole life. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You are able to get it. And I just want to go further and say, God expects you to get it. Not just being saved, not just a handful of things that you just happen to kind of, that happen to kind of stick to the walls of your brain. No, listen, He wants you to get it. Let me show you this. Ephesians 3, I told you it was going to be a flurry of verses for a little while. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, going down to verse 17. Now here's Paul praying for these folks, and his wish is this, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able. Get it? Able to comprehend. Able to get it with all saints. What is the breadth and length and depth and height? And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now you need to ask, since he's praying that we may be able to comprehend with all saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height? You have the right to ask the breadth, length, depth, and height of what? The answer must be in the passage. Go back to verse 10. No, verse 9. Look at what God wants. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, unto all the way to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known. You want to get it, right? Might be known by the church. Who's the church? It's you. Might be known the manifold wisdom of God. Not just that though, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus. It's God's will. It's God's purpose. It's the long view of what God is shooting for in all of this. You're supposed to be able to comprehend it. You're supposed to be able to get it. And part of it is revealed supernaturally because the Bible is alive, and the Holy Spirit has to sometimes take the synapses of our minds and kind of rub them together to make it work. But the rest of it is application on your part. The rest of it is you wanting it. Two abilities so far. The ability to believe and the ability to get it. Now notice 1 Peter chapter 4. Next thing, again, a flurry of a few more verses. And then you'll be able to relax. 1 Peter chapter 4. And this time, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Okay, if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability. I said ability shows up seven times. Okay, you've seen two of those times already. There is the ability that the Hebrew children had in Daniel 1. And then there, and that was not quite very well defined. Then you have this ability. This ability is to minister to somebody else. The ability to minister. God wants you to have the ability to minister. God gives that ability in part, but part of it for your sake is application. You got to get it. Now, look in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy 1. Three abilities so far. Believe, get it, comprehend it, understand it. Then minister. The ability to minister to each other. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And notice verse 12. I think Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Okay, the Lord Jesus Christ enabled Paul. He was now able to minister. But there was an awful lot that he didn't just get this as a, you know, a magic wand, ta-ting, and he had it. Wasn't he in prison a lot? Wasn't he in depths of waters and in prison and, you know, beaten up and all those things that he mentioned that made him a better minister? You see, there's the ability to minister. It's an enabling. It's not just a supernatural enabling, so one day you wake up and, you know, now that Ian is ordained, if he got ordained last night, now he is especially enabled in a way he never was before. That's not quite how it works. You know, a call to preach doesn't make you a good preacher. There's a lot of work involved. Right? Let me show you something else. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The ability to minister. 1 Corinthians, I said 2, I meant 3. 1 Corinthians 3. And our brethren could not speak, verse 1, unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 3:2 shows you that there are things that you have to grow in to be able to minister. That maybe wasn't the best verse in the world. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Yep, back and forth, back and forth. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Well, the requirement there is, okay, to be saved and, you know, to believe, to get it, right? But there's also the whole issue there of being a faithful man. And being willing to sit down and show somebody something and teach them. You see, we're given the ability, and you're supposed to develop the ability to minister. I know that's not charismatic-y enough for you. And that's kind of what we want, right? We kind of want a special giftedness where, you know, I'm just specially gifted. And I, you know, Superman, you know, that kind of thing. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Notice verse, maybe I should read earlier. Verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Sounds like you're going to get some, that we may be able to comfort them, that we may be able to comfort them, minister to them. You have to minister comfort. Because if you've been comforted by God, then maybe you can help somebody else get that comfort. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. The Lord wants you to develop the ability to minister. Look in 3:6. 3:6. Talking about the Lord who hath also made us able ministers of the New Testament. Able to minister. He's saved. He believes. Paul comprehended some things that not everybody gets. He's able to get it. And now he's able to minister. Look in Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. Romans 15 and verse 14. I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. Something these brethren were able to do, didn't have anything really to do with some supernaturally heaven-sent gift. Able to admonish. Admonishment is an urging. There's a little bit of reproof in it, a little bit of rebuke in it, and a whole lot of encouragement in it. So we're called to be able to do for each other. I know that's not esoteric enough, metaphysical enough for lots of folks. But there's not a lot of metaphysics here. Look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 5, I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. And that's an issue of dispute between some of the brethren. And he says, what are you going before worldly judges for? Why are you going to worldly counselors? Isn't there somebody wise enough among you here to be able to sit down and talk and arbitrate this issue out, to judge? Aren't you able? See, that's ministry. That's helping two people get their, you know, where their swords are crossed, being able to put this thing together so that they can get along. And there's nothing metaphysical about that. You know? I'll show you one more. Look in Titus chapter 1. Titus 1. And then you won't have to work so hard. You can kick back just a little bit. Titus chapter 1. And notice what he says here. Holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. So he holds on fast to the faithful word. God gave him the word. That's the supernatural part. But he's faithful in that word. He's studied that book. He's learned that book. And he's been taught it, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. He's able to minister. So far, there's three categories. You're able to believe. You should have the ability to get it. If you apply yourself and you're saved, you can get it. Right? The ability to minister. Maybe you don't want to minister. Maybe you want to be ministered unto. And sometimes that can be a problem. Y'all are really quiet. Look, if you will, this time in Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. I told you that there were seven verses that had the word ability in it. One is Daniel. They had the ability to stand in the palace. And one was, where was that? One was the ability to minister. Every other passage that has the word ability in it is the ability to do something. It's the same thing. Acts 11, verse 29. Acts 11, verse 29. Then the disciples, everyone according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Nobody is there is preaching and can be heard from a mile and a half away. Nobody there has a special gift of the Holy Ghost where people just walk in the room and fall flat on their faces revived. They have the ability to give. And that's true in Leviticus 27, where somebody has the ability to pay a vow. In Ezra, where they were able to, they had the ability to give to the temple project. In Nehemiah chapter 8, where there's, during the rebuilding of the wall, there was a usury scam where the Jews, some of the Jewish brethren were exploiting their brethren that were there. They had given all their money. They had sold off their goods. They had taken loans. And basically, they didn't have an ability to do anymore. In Matthew 25, the servants are given talents to pay. It's the ability to give. Ability to give. Do you have the ability to give? Now, that's not metaphysical enough, is it? Because that sounds an awful lot like money. I'm not trying to turn this into some cheap quest for money. I'm telling you that one of the abilities, one of the things that God expects you to be able to do is to give. Some can give not too much, some can give more, and some can give a lot. But you give what you according to your ability. And everybody ought to be able to do that. And the Lord's proven himself. He said, that woman that put in two mites is given more than they all. So he is perfectly capable of blessing your little bit that you're able to give a plenty. I'm just saying that that's one of the abilities. And again, that's not one of those super metaphysical, super powerful abilities. It's something very routine, very monotonous, very mundane that God is able to use. And that he will use. All right, there's something else. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And this is where it really gets ugly. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Because when we read in Daniel 1 about these guys having ability to stand, we imagine them in our hearts and minds. Boy, there's a charismatic in all of us. Imagine in our hearts and minds, you know, all of the specially crafted spiritual gifts these boys must have had in their hearts and minds. And Daniel was given the special gift, and he was, of interpreting dreams and all those things. And we think, well, surely the Lord can give me something like that. No, he's going to probably give you something much more practical. Right? Like 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. You said, I can't put up with any more. Yes, you can. Right? But will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You have the ability to bear up under temptation. And I know you do, because God's faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. So what I really think is that we all ought to do better with temptation. Because that is one of the abilities that God gave you. You can put up with it. You can bear up under it. You can do right even though you're tempted to do wrong. Yes, you can. And again, there's nothing particularly charismatically, metaphysically noble about that. It's not high enough for some. This is, you know, down in the dirt where we live, it's just us resisting temptation, resisting the devil. He'll flee from you. He is able. God is faithful. And you're called to be able. You are able to bear temptation. You are. Ephesians 6. Let me show you something else. You know, we read about Pray and Hide who kneels and, you know, is praying in the ship as it comes over the horizon. And as, you know, he's praying on the ship, you know, there's a revival already breaking out in the colonies. You hear stuff like that and you think, wow. And probably true. And yeah, George Whitefield could be heard, according to Benjamin Franklin, a mile and a half away. And that's kind of a special gift. But for everybody that has something like that, now Dr. Ruckman able to draw. But there's a lot of work involved in that too. Right? See, I really think that the abilities God's given us are pretty practical. And you're called to develop those things. And then the Lord steps in the gaps that you can't fill humanly and does something special. But the ability to believe, the ability to get it if you apply yourself, the ability to minister, the ability to give, the ability to bear temptation. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. All right, you know about the whole armor of God. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. You know what those are. I'm not going to preach that through. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The ability to stand. You've been given that ability. If you're not, it's because you didn't put on the whole armor. Okay? Because verse 11, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Down in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. You think that's when we live? And having done all to stand. Are you able to do that? According to the Bible, you are able to do that. And again, that gets kind of down in the mud, doesn't it? It's not what you were thinking. It's not the special gift that comes that makes it real easy for you and everybody else has it tough because they don't have the same gift you do. No, it's the ability to stand. And further, there's one other little thing here, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Devil manages to get his fiery dart stuck in your hide, doesn't he? You're looking for something on the internet. An advertisement pops up, eye candy, and boy, it's easy to go chase that down. And then it's stuck in your brain the rest of the day, right? Okay? The devil got his fiery dart stuck in your hide. He shot, he knows where to shoot. He got you burning. You got to quench the fiery dart. And the Bible says you're able to do that. It has to do with temptation, but it also has to do with being able to stand and to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Okay? Two other things. You can believe. You're able to believe. You're able to get it. You're able to minister. You are able to give. You are able to bear up under temptation. You are able to stand, to quench the fiery darts. Look in James chapter 3. James 3. James chapter 3 and verse 1, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all, Then he says, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. So apparently, you are able to bridle the whole body. That's not what I'm preaching about, because it goes on to say, behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may be obey us. We turn about their whole body. A horse, some of them weigh 1,500 pounds, and you can wrench that horse around and make him do what you want him to do. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Just enough talk, just a little word, just a little inflection here drives the nail home and twists, right? Verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. So there's no question. The Bible says it can't be tamed. So you won't tame it. But can you exercise yourself to shut your mouth more often? Okay. You're able. The Bible says you're able to do that. You can talk less. You can. I'm not getting on anybody. I don't have a secret. I'm not shooting for somebody secretly. I'm just saying you can shut up more. It'll never be tamed. You'll never be able to say, well, I'm glad that battle's behind me because I'll never say anything wrong again. No, it's going to be with you all from now on out. But you can shut your mouth more often. You really can. You can undertake to speak better than you do speak about different subjects than you speak about. You can. You can bridle the tongue. You can't tame it, but you can bridle it. I'm getting some enthusiastic amens here tonight. It's all right. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. The ability to believe. The ability to get it. Comprehend. The ability to minister. The ability to give. The ability to bear temptation. The ability to stand and to quench the fiery darts. The ability to bridle the tongue. And then 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 15. Moreover, let's go over verse 14. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. Hey, Peter's saying, so I'm going to die soon. Even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor, I'm going to undertake to make sure something happens, that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. I'm going to undertake with all of my ability to make sure you can remember the things I've taught you. And he says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables, which we made known when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard, which we were when we were with him in the holy mount. And we have also a more sure word of prophecy than a voice from heaven. I'm going to make sure that you are able to remember. So I'm going to give you something better than a voice from heaven. I'm going to write down these words that God gave me to say, and then He's going to keep them. And you're going to be able to reflect on anything and everything that I've taught you anytime you want. Anytime your memory starts to kind of fade and fail, it gets a little foggy, you're going to be able to go back to a book that I wrote that God preserved, and you'll be able to remember. It's going to be a touchstone for your Christianity where you can go back anytime and find out what God said through me. You have the ability to remember because you have a book. I don't know about those people that don't have a book, but you are able to remember. You're able to hold in remembrance all that the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to know, all that Paul wants you to know, all that Isaiah wants you to know, all that Peter wants you to know, because you have a book that God wrote you and preserved. You have the ability to believe. You have the ability to get it, to minister, to give, to bear up under temptation, to stand and to quench the fiery darts, to bridle your tongue, and to remember. And beyond that, I don't find any other abilities in the Bible. And like I said, you might be kind of disappointed by these abilities because you thought you were going to get something kind of flashy. There's just not a lot of flash. Jesus Christ, God the Father, they have all the flash. You're just a glorified animated dirt ball. You're just a hydrated pile of dirt that somebody breathed the breath of life into, and you're serving here until the Lord takes you home. And so there's just a lot of mud, and there's just a lot of dirt, and there's a lot of mundane things. And those are the Christian abilities that I found in the Bible. Let's bow our heads and pray. Well, Father, we're reminded of our